Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation, an application to our daily faith life, is found recorded in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19, verses 1 through 8. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life, and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die, and said, "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's." And as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. So far, sermon text. You may be seated. In Christ Jesus, who sympathizes with us in our weaknesses, for he is tempted as we are, to feel redeemed. There's an amazing statement in the book of James. It's in chapter 5, verse 17, and it reads, "Elijah is a man just like us." I don't know about you, but I don't consider myself even in the same stratosphere as Elijah. We heard what Elijah did in our scripture reading. Elijah was told to command the rain to stop. It didn't rain for 3.5 years. Elijah prayed for 3.5 years. It rained. Elijah raised the dead. Elijah took on, single-handedly, 450 prophets of Baal. Elijah brought down fire from heaven through prayer. Elijah bodily went to heaven in a whirlwind, in a chariot of fire. Elijah, just like us? I don't think so. Elijah was a mighty prophet of the Lord, fearless, bold, daring, just like us? You bet. So what made the great people of the Old New Testament great? Why were they heroes of faith? Great men of God were great because of God. Great women of God were great because of God. We need to remember that the prophets and the people and the apostles of the Old New Testament were human beings just like us. They weren't some super beings. They were human, just like us. Or as another translation puts it, with a nature just like ours. They were human beings, chosen by God to be His children, chosen by God to do His will, chosen by God to proclaim His word. And that's one of the marvels of the Bible. God shows these heroes of faith just like they were. Sins and all. Shortcomings, faults, failures, imperfections, as well as their tremendous trust. And so in our sermon text this morning, we see a very real human reaction to a problem from a very real human prophet named Elijah. Our sermon text takes place almost immediately after what we just read from our second reading this morning, when the Lord answered Elijah's prayer and sent fire down from heaven and burned up his altar, showing very clearly that the Lord Jehovah is the only God of heaven and earth. We are told that after that happened, and after Elijah killed the prophets of Baal, the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. And Ahab was riding in a chariot of horses. Elijah was stoked. He was pumped. He went back to Jezreel, and he was excited. He was flying high. But the very next day, he hit rock bottom. All of his dreams collapsed. This man of courage, who had stood in front of 450 prophets of Baal, now was running in fear of his life. What had happened? Well, the prophets of Baal were defeated. They were killed. No doubt Elijah thought, Ahab, who agreed to this showdown, who's the true God, saw the miracle, would have then said, oh, Jehovah's the true God. Let's get rid of this Baal stuff. Get rid of all this immorality and idolatry, and let's promote Jehovah. But nothing changed. No doubt Elijah thought that his days of running and being persecuted and tribulations for him would come to an end. Maybe he may look upon as being a national hero for all that he did. But there was no change of heart in Ahab. Just a numbing and stunning awe as to what he saw when fire came down and burnt up the water and the stones and the wood and the bull on the altar. And then when Ahab told his wife, Jezebel, who promoted the prophets of Baal, what Elijah had done, she flew into a rage and said, I'm going to kill him just like he killed my prophets. So instead of words of praise, commendation, and thanksgiving, Elijah received death threats, condemnation, and curses. This joy-filled, victorious prophet was completely deflated. He thought his cause was lost for good. God's enemies surrounded him and they were in complete control. And he felt he was the only one left who worshipped the Lord Jehovah. He was very depressed. So, you ever felt that way? That's probably a pretty foolish question, isn't it? Are you human? Then you felt that way. There are many times in our life when we've worked really hard to accomplish something. When we've worked really, really, really hard to get something done. It doesn't work out the way we wanted, or no one seems to care one bit. Maybe it's around the house. Worked hard to make sure the family unit is together. All the strife and the bickering is settled down, and things are unraveling faster than you can try and knit them back together. Maybe it's our job. The burden, the pain, the responsibilities, the mental strain, the workload that's piling up on us. Maybe it's our bills. Maybe the harder we work, the hinder we get. Could be a multitude of trials and troubles in our life that seem to be piling up, and everything we try to do seems to be coming undone. Maybe it's all those things and more. As I read this text as a pastor, I think of Elijah, of being when, as a pastor, we go out and visit delinquents, women in church, and you sit down, you have a devotion with them, you talk with them, and they make all kinds of promises. Yeah, pastor, I'll be there next week. I'm sure going to be there. And no one shows up. We spend time with a counselee, bringing the word of God to them, the law and the gospel, and praying with them, and they listen to you, and then you leave, and nothing changes. They don't put into practice the antidote of God's word to help them in their problem. There are times when members leave the church and the pastor's blamed. Or you work hard, people say, you've not been doing enough. We've all been there. Maybe you don't feel like you're appreciated by your boss or by your family or by your spouse. But you know, it's even worse when we realize that we have not done what God has wanted of us. We haven't served Him in our calling, in our relationships with our family, or with our boss or employer. From that knowledge comes guilt. And that guilt brings along despair. A guilt that works against faith, hope, and love. And that's what we see in Elijah. All of a sudden we see him lying under a broom tree. He's lying there, and he wants to die. What an amazing 40 days. 40 days earlier, Elijah stood there boldly saying, Lord God, show them you're the only God of Israel. And now he's saying, Lord God, take my life. He said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my fathers. What led Elijah to such a confession? Was it a result of the fear he felt because of the threat upon his life after the excitement he felt when everything went so well? Was it the guilt he felt because now he was running away and not standing up for the Lord? Was it his feeling of failure to destroy the prophets of Baal when he thought he had accomplished that? Was it an overwhelming sense of his own frailty, his own weaknesses, his own sins, his own inadequacy? Or was it because this wasn't the way he had planned it to go? Perhaps it was a combination of all those things, and maybe even more. Elijah was feeling what other men of God have felt many times when confronted with their own human frailties. We saw it in the publican who stood in the temple, beat his breast, and asked for forgiveness. We saw it in the Apostle Paul, who wrote of himself, I'm the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle. And also wrote, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. But the reality of Elijah's sins and of Elijah's weaknesses and inadequacy is not a reason for Elijah to give up. In fact, that's the very reason when we realize we failed and are inadequate that we should turn to the Lord for His strength to accomplish great things for God. The same apostle who wrote that he was the least of the apostles, who wrote that he was weak, says, for when I am weak, then I am strong. And that's what Elijah needed to learn. So the angel woke him up, said, get up and eat. And there was a miracle cake of bread there and some water. And he ate. Fell asleep again, ate some more. And that miracle bread and water kept him going for 40 days and 40 nights as he wandered into the wilderness. The Lord said, the journey is too great for you. With that miraculous food and God's grace, Elijah was kept healthy and strong so they got to the wilderness. What a tremendous text this is for every single one of us when we go through times of frustration, discouragement, despair, depression, fear, sense of sin and guilt, inadequacies, and yes, self-pity that Elijah did. And so our theme this morning is, let the Lord be your strength in days of discouragement. And our first point is, realize that depression can affect us all. Just because we're Christians doesn't mean that we'll never, ever get depressed. We're very human. Sometimes our sinful human nature is so strong it takes over our feelings, changes our emotions, even against our own will. Remember, Elijah was just like us. Again, with a nature just like ours. His experiences, both good and bad, are our experiences as well. Reminded that our failures, whether they come about because of lofty expectations or maybe because of frustration, fear, self-righteous pride, self-pity, whatever the issue, they neither disqualify us nor excuse us from serving our God. Instead, they serve a good purpose, reminding us of our sinfulness and of our total dependence upon God, the Holy Spirit. The psalmist asked it many years ago, where does my help come from? And he answered his own question in the psalm, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. See, Elijah was afraid, he was defeated, he was deflated, he was burnt out, he was ready to give up. He's at the point where many children of God find themselves at one time or another. When you read the history of Martin Luther, you find out that he also experienced severe bouts of depression at times in his life. So first of all, realize depression can afflict us all. Secondly, be aware of the Lord's forgiving and sustaining presence. Elijah was given that miracle food of God to walk into the wilderness. And when he got to the wilderness, he learned the lesson of the still, small voice. It's not through the condemning power of the law that our hearts are changed and we follow God, but through the simple message of Christ and Him crucified, God the Father's love through His Son Jesus that heals our hearts, makes us strong to walk in His ways and to fulfill His tasks and His calling to us. That good news helps us in times of frustration. Jesus Himself went through all of that. He experienced loneliness, frustration, persecution, threats on His own life, rejection, lack of appreciation, yet without any sin. The life of Christ, His suffering, His death, affects our hearts and lives and gives faith and courage to us timid souls. Isn't it amazing? The perfect Son of God, the perfect Almighty Son of God, knows exactly how you feel when you have times of trials, of frustration, or loneliness, or rejection, or you feel not appreciated. He went through all of that for you and for me. And He encourages us to turn to Him for the strength in His powerful word. We mentioned Martin Luther. He experienced some severe bouts of depression. But he did some amazing things for God, preaching many, many sermons, writing, teaching, composing hymns, translating the Bible, counseling, writing commentaries. Luther spent his time in prayer and in study of God's Word. We cannot look to inward, internal sources for help. There's an old saying that's very true. When God lets us stumble, He does so in order for us to fall into His loving arms. And He lets us fail as His servants. He does so that we realize that we're not the strength. We're the source of power. He's the source. It's not scriptural that God helps those who help themselves. It's scriptural that God helps those who realize they cannot help themselves and need God to help them. And often, He lets us see that help in His Word only after He lets us know in uncertain terms that we can't help ourselves. And finally, do whatever the Lord gives you to do in His strength. As I look out at all your faces and your lives, I see that all of our callings are different. We're all different personalities, different families. The Lord has laid upon us differing responsibilities, different chores, different cares and concerns. You've got different jobs, different relationships with your families, different pressures. Whatever they are, the Lord has called us to do, We can do them in His strength, not our own. We can stand in the face of insurmountable odds, like Gideon, with his, 300 men against 135,000 Midianite soldiers. We can stand like the young David with a few stones against the giant Goliath. We can bear up under tremendous trials and pressure like Jeremiah, Daniel, or his friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being thrown into the fiery furnace. We can stand in the face of crippling trials and tribulations and temptation like Abraham being told to sacrifice his own son. He's willing to do that. Stephen, who kept on preaching about Jesus, even as he's being stoned to death. And we can be victorious in our battles against Satan, the sinful world, and our own sinful flesh through Jesus, who is victorious through his suffering, death, and resurrection. We can remain joyful, courageous, and confident in this veil of tears alone through Christ and His Word. Remember Paul, who said he didn't deserve to be even called an apostle, who said he was the chief of all sinners, who admitted to his weaknesses? He also wrote, "I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Christ who strengthens me through the power of his death, the power of his resurrection, and the power of his forgiving word. One more point needs to be mentioned. Elijah had his glorious moment on Mount Carmel, probably the most exciting time in his ministry. And yet, it wasn't really Elijah's moment. This is God's moment. God's time to show his power. Perhaps Elijah needed to learn that truth as well. And so do we. We need to know that it is God who works in us both to do, to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's God's work that we're to do. It is in God's strength that gives us the ability to do God's work. And then God receives the glory and the praise for that work. That's probably one reason why God lets us see all of these people in their weaknesses as well. Otherwise, we might honor and praise and worship the person rather than glorify God who gave them the ability. So, let the Lord be your strength in days of discouragement and in all your days. Then the triune God will receive all our praise. Amen. The peace of God which passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.